work goes into those things. And, you know, the children have fond memories and a great time. And it's also a great time to invite visitors to things like that. So tonight I'm going to read to you a psalm. When Elder Hart was preaching on Wednesday night, he taught such an amazing lesson. And what my takeaway from that was, there was so many deep statements, and the Holy Ghost ministered in so many ways. But he said a couple of times, more than once, he said, what you do today, you will affect your children. And he said that in a couple different ways. And that's always been something that is just always on the forethought of my mind. What I do today affects my children, even though they're grown adults. What I do today affects my grandchildren. Even what I do today will affect the children, my great-grandchildren, that I may never see. And I believe what my the generations before me, what they did many, many years ago, they have affected my life. They have. And you see, I wasn't raised in this. We all have great testimonies. My testimony would be great if I was raised in this and kept from all of those ugly sins that came my way. But I did not know anything about the Word of God. I received my first Bible when I was in like sixth or seventh grade. It was a Good News Bible, and I got snowed in one year, and that's when I started to read it because I was seeking something. And it wasn't until I was 19 years old that I gave my life to the Lord, and God filled me with the Holy Ghost and delivered me from the things that had kept me bound. But I had not known anything about Jesus Christ. And what I did not know was my mother went to a Sunday school that was Jesus' Name, One God, when she was a child. And my grandfather was an elder in the church. And his father and mother were Jesus' Name, One God. And it was on both sides of the family. And so would it be any coincidence that when I started seeking spiritual truth, that I would be led to a One God, Jesus Name, tongue-talking, apostolic church? That's no coincidence at all. Our prayers today affect our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. Now, often what we hear about are generational sins. There was a decade where that's what everybody was talking about, generational curses, generational sins. And I'm sure Elder Hart has taught on that. And I remember the day that was like revelatory to me, and I got down an early morning prayer, and I could tell you the very pew, and I repented for the sins of my fathers and forefathers. It was Nehemiah was going to rebuild, and the buck stopped here. None of those sins, because it was generation of generation of generation, prescription abuse, pharmaceutical drug abuse, alcohol abuse, street drug abuse, adultery, sexual sin and molestation, all through my family, every generation. It stops here, and I had a serious talk with God, and those were the people that didn't come to God, all right? So... And those were the people that did come to God and repented. But it was like something that I had heard, and I'm not letting anything get by me that is going to be passed on to my children. And so I had a talk with God. So we always hear about the generational curses. What about the generational blessings? It's just like people, there are some people, they always want to talk about the devil. The devil tried to get me today. The devil did this. I have a bad attitude. It's the devil. But you talk about angels, and people get, ooh, whoa, whoa, whoa. When a third of the spirits were cast out of heaven, so there's really two-thirds more angels than there are devils. So think it not strange if people talk about angels and the angelic host and the ministry that they do. We all have balance in this. So my thought with Brother Hart and what he taught the other night, what I do today affects my children and my grandchildren. What about generational blessings? What about it? What about the just how I act today, the seeds that I plant, the plants that grow, the crops that I tend to, the pruning, we're pruning right now in the orchard, the pruning that we do. My spiritual growth and what I invest in and the seeds I plant are going to affect my children, my grandchildren, and the generations to follow. I believe that. My granddaughter just read a book recently about a young lady who was born blind and deaf. And I can't think of her name right now. Correct, Helen Keller. And I talked to Annabelle about that a little bit. And our focus was with Helen Keller's disadvantages and challenges and disabilities, how successful she was. That she didn't let that stop her from being what God wanted her to be. And she found her giftings. And sometimes you just don't think. It's just not even one generation away. I was sitting there at the table with Annabelle, and I said, well, Annabelle, did you know your great-grandmother was blind? What? My grandma was blind. She was. And then I shared her testimony. And I shared that grandma was a Christian. Grandma loved God. I lived with grandma. When I met my husband, I was living with my grandparents. My grandma was as blind as they come. She hadn't always been that way. It was results of the old-fashioned the insulin you took with the diabetes back in the day. Completely blind. If my grandma wanted to know what time it was, she had a little box, and you never moved anything. Because she was blind. She knew where everything was. You just didn't move it. And she would go touch the box, and it would say, it is 11:05, and that's what I lived with. Sometimes I really wanted to touch that box at 5 a.m. in the morning. It is, and my grandmother would cook a meal like a Thanksgiving meal, blind as a bat. Just let her in the kitchen and stay out of her way, and if I did not put the flour back where it was supposed to be, she had the Holy Ghost, but she could scream from here to kingdom come. She had lungs. And that was my grandmother. And I visited with Annabelle about my grandmother, and we prayed for her to be healed often. I don't know why, it's only God knows, but she passed from this world without her healing. But my grandmother would tell you, she never had a prayer life until she became blind. And she became a great intercessor. She was such an intercessor. And she was one of those intercessors that often she didn't know night from day if it wasn't for that. It is 7 a.m. She would wake up at 3 a.m., that was her prayer time, and she would go into prayer and go into intercession. And she was the type of intercession that her moaning and groaning and wailing would just scare the fire out of you. And I remember as young adults when I was dating my husband, he came and stayed with my grandparents. He really got freaked out. I didn't warn him about grandma and her praying in the middle of the night. But that was my grandma. And so she realized, and she found blessing, and she found her place in the body of Christ with her challenges. And I thought, there's so many things that I could share as a testimony to my children and my grandchildren that would encourage them. Because the testimonies and the good reports that we share today, they do affect our children and our grandchildren. The children of Israel in the Old Testament, they told story after story after story. They would take a stone and build a memorial. And then what they would do is they would pass it on to their children, story after story after story. And that's what I want to do. I want to talk about the blessings of the generation that I'm in. The blessing it is to serve God. And I'm going to read a psalm to you. We're going to just go through it. Psalms 102. I really want to, I'm going to stand on this step. This thing is so high. There, now it's right. Psalms 102 is actually, the first part of it is actually a lament. Have you ever lamented? Have you ever cried? Have you ever had sorrow? That's lamenting. And it's actually okay to lament. It's actually okay to tell the Lord exactly how you're feeling, as long as we don't stay there. And that's what exactly what happens with the writer of this psalm. Psalm 102, it says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me." You could put, "Oh God, God, hear me. God, hear me. Incline your ear to me. In the day that I call, answer me speedily. Answer me now, O God." We know we all feel that way often, but none of us usually have enough guts to say it. Lord, answer me, please, now, hurry. "For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to even eat bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin." So here the writer is emotionally distraught and physically distraught. He's painting a word picture that we can see. My bones are burned. My bones are on fire. And the next verse he says, "I'm even forgetting to eat. My bones cling to my skin." So there's emotional distress, there's physical distress, and as you go, we go on, if you read the whole thing, you're going to see spiritual distress. "I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." I would say now there's some spiritual distress there. So this guy is upset. He's praying to God, "Hear me, hear me, hear me, and answer me today." Physically distressed, emotionally distressed, spiritually distressed. He's lonely on top of everything else. Verse 8, "My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me or mock, those who mock me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread. I have mingled my drink with weeping because of your indignation and your wrath. For you have lifted me up and cast me away." Spiritual pain. He feels cast away from God. He's talking about, he's crying. He's cast away from God. "My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like the grass." I would say this person is in distress. But right here is where it starts to change. He talks to God and he tells God exactly how he's feeling. He's bolder than, I don't know if I've ever told God I need you to hear me, and I need you to do it right now. I have cried out, you know, that moment where a car is crossing the center line and heading at you, and you just cry out, Jesus! And you're meaning like, right now, right now, production. You just can't say all those words. I have done that. But I have never gone to him and said, I'm emotionally distressed, I'm physically distressed, I'm spiritually distressed, and I need you to answer my prayer right now. Oh God, I'm alone, I'm far from you. Verse 12, but he changes. He tells God exactly how he's feeling, but he takes the change. But besides all that, you, O Lord, shall endure forever. No matter how I feel, you, O God, will endure forever. And the remembrance of your name to all generations, you will arise and have mercy on Zion. For the time to favor her. Let me reread that. You will arise and have mercy on Zion. That's a reference to the church. For the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and show favor to her dust. So the nations shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth your glory. For the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. He shall regard the prayer of the destitute. So he's praying these words, God, even though he just talked about how destitute he was, he's reminding himself, you will regard the prayers of the destitute. And shall not despise their prayer. And this is the verse that I sought out the other day in reference to the generations to come. And this is what I found. Verse 18, this will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. A people yet to be created. People that aren't even born. For he looked down from the height of his sanctuary, from heaven. The Lord viewed the earth, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to release those appointed to death, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. When the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. He weakened the strength of the way. He shortened my days. And I said, O God, do not take me away in the midst of my days. Your years are throughout all generations. Of old, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. So he's acknowledging him as his creator. They will perish, but you will endure. Yes, they will all grow old like a garment, like a cloak. You will change them. So they will perish, but God will endure. He's acknowledging that he is eternal. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. The children of your servants will continue, and their descendants will be established before you. So he comes to God just as he is, and he's real. And it's okay. I come to God just as I am, and I'm real. He knows my words before I speak them. He knows my thoughts. He knows the very intent of my heart and my motives. But I do pray them, and I do talk to him about them. But I don't stay there. Even in all my pain, then I take that turn, and I acknowledge who he is and what he's able to do. And it is my reaction to even my lowest crisis will affect generations to come. My acknowledgement of him will affect generations to come. The prayers that I pray today, the worship that I do today, will affect generations to come. And can I just say, sometimes when you're not loving even yourself enough to do the right thing, and you're tempted to kick the dog, throw the can, tear up the bill, do whatever and lose it, your actions affect generations to come. Your prayers affect generations to come. And to me, that is just so powerful. I never knew God as a child, but those generations that I never met, that I've only seen black and white pictures of, way back in the olden days, they prayed a prayer for their children and their grandchildren, that they all would know the Lord and serve him in the fullness of truth and walk in an apostolic doctrine. And I believe without a shadow of a doubt, that is what led me to a church with full doctrine when I was ready to start seeking him. Our prayers matter. Mothers, nobody prays like you do for their children. Nobody prays like you do for their family. Nobody prays with God created us to have those emotions and to go for it and to love like there's no end. Because there isn't. And I just was marked again by what Elder Hart said about how we affect our children. And I wanted to point that out to you. I did that whole psalm just for that one verse. Verse 18. This will be written for the generation to come, that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord. And today I was so blessed. I was so blessed tonight in the prayer room, and I looked up, and there's Callum walking with my husband back and forth across the prayer room. Now, Callum just didn't decide he wanted to go and pray with his grandpa. Grandpa did go over and take his hand. And Callum was probably, I can imagine, just a little awkward in the beginning, like, who's watching me, and blah, 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 blah. And then after a while, he didn't have Grandpa's hand, but he's walking back and forth. And he's praying. He does that with my grandson in Puyallup. Everything we do, even when we don't feel like coming to church, we bring our children to church because it's the right thing to do. So I want to encourage you. Your prayers are powerful and they count. God bless you.
Praise God. Could we give the Lord some praise right now? Close your eyes, focus on him. Hallelujah. You're worthy, Father. You're worthy of glory and praise tonight, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the expression of your spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. You know, it's just a good habit when you walk through those doors is to take a right rather than a left and head on downstairs. There was some good prayer down there before service. It's just a good way to come in to fellowship with one another and with the Lord. Amen. Word of faith. What does that mean to you? A word of faith. I mean, we use that terminology. Does anybody understand it when we use it? I had a word of faith. I received a word of faith. Any ideas at all? Elder, a quickened word, a living word. When you're carrying a burden, when your need is deep, You come waiting for that quick word. That word of faith that addresses your immediate situation, whether anybody else knows about it or not. It's the word that comes to you, quickened and alive, that's identifiable to your spirit. It registers. It doesn't just register with your ears and process through your intellect, but it registers with your spirit for you to know that was a word of faith. In other words, I received a word from God. Still with me? Have you ever come needing some of what my wife was describing to you was coming to him very real, carrying your load, your burden, your concerns, knowing you need his intervention. Sometimes his intervention is not a physical work, but it's a word to sustain me. In other words, it's enough to let me know, okay, he's aware, he knows all about it, and he's going to do something with it. Right? Okay. So a gentleman in the Puyallup congregation who was very private was battling cancer for many, many months before he ever told anybody. He's just that private. I may have shared a piece of that testimony here at some previous time. I'm not sure. But over a season of time, pursuing it in prayer, he and his wife, pursuing God in prayer concerning this need, the testing, the diagnostics, the data changed. I don't know if it was as long as maybe a year. But the data changed. Now, I can tell when somebody walks in and they're carrying this heavy load and they don't hardly want to make eye contact. They just want to look straight forward and they're just kind of desperate before God and they don't know what else to do but just to stand there and be desperate. Just like anybody else would. And that's how desperate he was. The whole family, they were, you know, everybody was aware. But it was being kept private until the data changed. And then I just called on him one night to testify. I had no idea what he was going to talk about. And he starts divulging all of this, trips back and forth to the East Coast and different doctors and different hospitals. And it was all because of one word that I used, which is immaterial. Well, through the grapevine, I heard that symptoms had returned and that he'd gone to the doctor and some of the tests were showing something, but it wasn't conclusive. And so the test results was not due back for another couple weeks. But again, shaking in his boots. Everybody sweating bullets. Children upset. Everybody worried. And we had a visiting couple on Sunday. They are now appointed missionaries to the Ukraine. Brother and Sister Tomiev. And unscheduled, I saw her sitting in the back. Brother Tomiev was up front. He knew he was going to be speaking in the service, and he was ready and just waiting for me to call on him. And I saw her sitting in the back, and I thought, Sister Tomiev, Would you, I know you're always here with your daughter and you sit in the back. Would you please come and just greet us today? She came right up. She opened up a piece of paper, laid it out on the lectern, and said, this is what the Lord had told her. That if Brother Schoonover calls on you, you are to go and share this testimony. And she laid out this piece of paper and she began to relay the testimony of how her young son, as a boy, was diagnosed with cancer. And in her broken English, she explained that when she went home, she said there were two spirits in her home. The spirit of fear and the spirit of death. And again, in her simplicity, in her broken English, she said, I said, spirit of death, you leave my house. Spirit of fear, you go from my home and you cannot come back anymore. She said, today her son is the pastor in the church in Ukraine some 20 years later. And I'm thinking, I'm looking over there at this couple thinking, are you getting this? Is this registering with you? It was with me. And so, of course, they don't know that I know. Because, again, they're keeping all this stuff private. Until then, after the service, came to me and began to tell me the situation of the symptoms. But they said it's not conclusive because the test results will not be back for another week or so. And so I said, were you listening? Did you hear Sister Tomyev, what she talked about? Yeah. I said, didn't your spirit bear witness with what she said? I'm just not sure. I said, well, I am. It did with me. You can have a confidence and know either it does or it doesn't. Either it was a word from God or it wasn't. And when the Lord speaks into your situation, a living word, there will be an effect. There will be an impact. I don't know what you come waiting on. Sometimes we come waiting on a good lesson. Sometimes we come waiting on I don't know what. But when I come, I've got to hear from the Lord and receive a living word into my situation. To have a confidence. To have a trust. Well, I got an email. Test results came back. Everything's okay. Now, listen. It's not about just everything being okay. It's the Lord caring enough to send you a word, to send you the testimony of an individual to know. This is how he operates with us. Let's pray for a minute right now. This is why my relationship is so important with him. This is why my relationship is so important with him. He doesn't just do this for others. He does it for me. Come on, he wants to do it for you. He wants you to have such a trust in him that just a glimpse of a word, just a whimper of his breath coming into the place, coming into your presence, there's nothing untouchable by him. Nothing untouchable by him. He cares about every detail. He cares about every detail. So, are we filling time here? Of course not. As I was sitting there, I felt like I wanted to share this with you. 30 years ago, we lived right down here on Southern Avenue in a little house. And I still remember getting ready for church, either on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. And I'd bend over the sink and, you know, be shaving. And I would, it just seemed like it always worked this way. I'd start to feel a stirring in my spirit. And when I would begin to feel that stirring in my spirit, I would know. That's the feeling that I always get, that when I get to the church, they're going to call on me, and I'm going to be involved somehow to participate in the service. And that's the way it always was. Do you know today, a couple of hours ago, I started feeling that stirring. Now, there was no discussion about anything before we got here. I watched as my wife sat down to the table. She was ready, and she opened her Bible, and I could tell the Spirit of God is dealing with her. She's going to be involved in the service tonight. Do you realize that the Lord goes before us? He goes before us. And so before you got in your car tonight, God was dealing with individuals, vessels, who would participate in some form or some way tonight, already stirring in their spirit, readying and preparing something for somebody before they got in their car tonight. And we come. Does he really know even who I am? And I say yes. I say yes. He knows the detail of your thoughts. He knows the detail of your concerns, your cares, the things that you don't think anybody else cares about. He knows and he cares, and he wants you to have a trust. Would you just pray with me? Would you thank the Lord right now? Just because he cares so much for you, that he would send a messenger, that he would send a word of faith, that you just know he's got my back. He's got my back. He's watching over. He's caring over. I cast all my care upon him. Because I know that he cares for me. So you came with a burden tonight. You came with a burden tonight. You hesitate to share it with anybody. I'm not asking you to share your burden. But if you came in here with a burden tonight, would you come and stand across this front and let us pray for you? You came with a burden. It may be unspoken. You don't want to speak it out to anybody. That's not important. But by this time tonight, you ought to know and understand. He knows. He cares. And he wants to minister to it. You know, if you'll permit me, Elder Hart, I'd like for us to pray for each one of these situations that are standing here tonight, just one at a time. Could we pray for Brother Sanchez here? Ethan, you stand there because you have a burden or you want to pray? Okay. Would you make a line across here so that you're distinctly different? Stand side by side. Come on up here. Side by side. Jesus' name. Would you stand in agreement back here? And let's pray together right now. Come on, if nobody's laying hands on you, would you be praying as well? I want to pray for this situation right here. In the name of Jesus. We pray strength, Lord. We pray strength. We pray dedication and commitment, oh God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Kima yolo romasita. In the name of Jesus, if you elders would come on up. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Come on, you know every detail. You know every detail, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, every detail, every worry. Hallelujah. Righteousness prevail. Righteousness prevail. Hallelujah. Come and pray with him. I don't want to wear you out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeluria kia tahayeya. Jesus. Kima tahayeya. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father. Lord, thank you for your care. Your mercy endureth to all generations, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yando yolo roko shomayo. Hallelujah. Masayayai. Ke yolo riasia. Ke lo riala masiando lo riala matahai. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yo ma yolo romando yo se le heiaia. Ke yolo riande le hiala matahaya. Hallelujah. You know every detail, Lord. You know every detail, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes. Kimatahaya. Yemando yose tiatahaya. Yes. Si olo roma. Thank you. Come on, let's thank him tonight. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your revealing yourself in this way, oh God. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for showing your care, for revealing your care to us, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colo romando yosia. Yay, Colo romando yosia. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, years ago, my uncle hired me to help build some pole buildings. And so I was swinging a large hammer all day long. And at nighttime, I'd lay my arm over the bed and my hands were just aching, just throbbing, you know, through the night. And I was starting to worry, you know, is there something happening to my hands that's going to be irreparable or something, you know? And my pastor had this guy that was coming to the church to, they had music and they would, you know, sing and then he would minister. And so I sat there for probably an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours as he went from person to person through the sanctuary and would begin to speak things about them and talk with them, you know, about their future, things like this. And I had never witnessed that before like that. And I'm thinking, oh, is he going to call on me? Is he going to call on me? Is he going to call on me? And at the very last, he says, he just had a heart attack not too long before that. He said, you know, I'm getting kind of tired. And he said, so just one more. And I'm thinking, ooh. He says, you, young man, stand up. Stand up, he said. And he started talking to me about myself and things, you know. But it was like, I don't know this guy from Adam, and he really doesn't know me, and is this really real, what he's saying? And then just before he finished, he said, now I want you to raise your hands. And he says, and the thing with your hands, he said, it's nothing. He's healed you. That meant more to me than all of the prophecies that he had gave to me that night. Because it let me know the Lord really knew. He wants to be that intimate with our situations. Amen. Lord, we're thankful tonight for your touch, your ministry upon our lives. We're just thankful to you. We are just thankful to you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for showing your care, your concern in our lives tonight in the way that you did. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Give you any kind of a foam?